The Psul Krovim, not really doing the nature of the Psul Krovim, but the sugya of who is a...
Right now, there will be a minion for Menachem the Beis HaMedrash right now.
Remember the first shiur I gave last year? The first two shiur I gave last year, in the beginning at the shiur quality. The first one was a... Not the topic, where Kamenetsky came down to make a few announcements, and then the next was the... fire alarm.
Like, it's not working.
This is not working. Okay. So, the Psul Krovim, the very complicated mission, very much like the Yevamos Sugya. Let's read through it. The Gemara of Zion and Beis and Sanhedrin, the mission writes, the Elohim Krovim, rather. These are the Krovim. The way, in my mind, I organized it was as follows. The first three are a group of brothers. Achiv, Achiaviv, Achimo. The brother, the uncle, and the uncle from the mother's side, from the father's side. So three brother relationships. The next three are sister relationships, the husband of the sister. Ubal achoso, ubal achos aviv, ubal achos imo. His sister's husband, his aunt's husband, aunts from both sides, from his father and mother. That's the second group, the sister's husband. And the third group is no one who's really related to him, somehow through either in-laws or step-father sons or something like that. So the next group is the... Baal Imo, his mother's husband, which is a stepfather. V'chamav, his wife's father, which is a father-in-law, again, not related. V'giso, his brother-in-law through his wife's sister's husband, who's not related to either. The last three are people he's not related to at all, but through extension, they're going to be, right, through marriage, we're going to include them as well. Then finally, the last one, the Chorgo Levado, sorry, I skipped a few words. Hein uvnei v'chosnem, they themselves, their sons and their son-in-laws are also going to be included in the Psul Krovim. Then the Mishnah adds one other one, the Chorgo Levado. What's a Chorgo?
Stepson.
The stepson, right? The stepson, Levado, not the stepson's sons, not the stepson's son-in-laws. So this is the Mishnah, and I'm not sure how much we're going to analyze each of them. We're going through the Gemara and see what comes up. What today we're going to do is the Sugya of the Poked Avon Avos, we'll read the Gemara. I think another Sugya we'll do tomorrow, the next day, is the Psul of Sone, the Ohev. Maybe we'll do that Sugya. And the third Sugya we'll do, I'm not sure in this order, maybe we'll do this one first, is Mishnah Rishona, about the what changed from Mishnah Rishona to the Mishnah Achrona. There's a very heavy amount of Rishona on that topic. So those are probably the Sugyas we'll do the next few days. What?
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. So, let's jump to the Gemara. Now we'll skip the last few lines of the Mishnah. Hopefully we'll come back to the next couple of days. The Mishnah... Oh, sorry. Before we start that, just a couple of ha'aras to keep in mind. The Mishnah leaves out a very obvious karov or two. Which karov is not in the Mishnah?
Because of your parents?
Yeah. Your father. Father and the son. Those are not in the Mishnah. So there are a few, we may as well just, obvious question, a few Rishonim, nothing to lamdish, but a few Rishonim do deal with why the father and son is not off it. Very good. The Rambam Peish Mishnah says it's in the Pesukim. Others say that as well. It's a Mefurshe Pasuk. So this gets into the sign, just keep in mind in general when reading Mishnayos, so sometimes obvious things are left off, and oftentimes the answer is because it's a Pasuk. The Mishnayos expect us to know the Chumash. The fact is the Hesped is in the Pasuk in Parsha Chayisar, one should know that. So things that have first in Pesukim, so we should know. you should know it's first in the Pasuk, and then the Mishnah is building off of that. So since the Pasuk tells us that a father and a son is possible because of Karov, no need to list in the Mishnah. The Rishash actually had a gear so he brings down the back. The Rishash said, no, some were actually Gores that Aviv was on the Mishnah. So if that was the case, so no question, obviously. The Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz also asks this question. He says, similar to the idea that it was in the Pasuk, but he didn't say based on the Pasuk. Rather, he writes, Pshita. You didn't have to say something so obvious. The Av Ikra Pisul Havak Korva. The father is the most, the strongest relative that we have. V'chein b'no uven b'no atzof kol dor. So to his son and grandchildren al adoros, all of them are going to be pasul. That's all obvious to us because they all come, they flow from the Yerech Av, from the father himself. That relationship, there's no need to mention it. Not because it's a pasul necessary, because it was obvious misvar. Then Rabbeinu Yonah deals with the Gemara M'sachim, Bava Basra rather. I think what you were trying to get out of Shira gave last year, the relationship of ben b'no, the grandson, the grandfather, how much is ben b'no considered b'no or not. So he says, if Ben Beno is going to be Pasal Aladoros, like writes the Rabbeinu Peretz, so you couldn't list in the Mishnah. Because how you listed Ben in the, of in the Mishnah, that say the father's Pasal, you would conclude the father's Pasal, the son's Pasal, but the son, the grandson's also going to be Pasal. It wouldn't fit into the Mishnah. The Mishnah only says that one generation apart is going to be Pasal. No more than that is going to be Pasal. But when it comes to father, son, even the grandson, Aladoros is going to be Pasal as well. That's how he deals with it, and other technical reasons. But that's just a few answers that we should deal with why the father and son are not mentioned in the Mishnah. You had a question, Jake?
According to those who say that it's like Pashut, I guess that you would have to, because it's, let's say, close from like the
Yeah.
I feel like being like their Shidos on like why Krogan are Pasal, like because of, you know, your own king, then you're obviously going to be like, I guess, whatever, we have a Chashash, you're going to be biased. However, I mean, I don't know what the hakir is, but are they
giving you... I don't think it's a very good question to raise. I would actually say the opposite of what you're saying. First of all, there are two angles. You're coming from the angle of what the nature of Psul Karov is. Psul Karov could either be, as you said, Chashash Meshaker or Gzeres HaKasif. Chashash Meshaker, the relatives, you'll be biased. But then again, the Moshe and Aaron are brothers, not going to be biased. They're Kul Emes, but still they're possible. Maybe it's Gzeres HaKasif. Even Moshe and Aaron... Who could you trust more than them? They're also possible. Maybe it's really Gzeres HaKasif. So, if you understand Yer Ha'av, the strong relationship, that to me is not because of the... It's not a relationship because they love each other necessarily. It's more of a legal, halachic relationship. It's Gzeres HaKasif. They're so one and the same person. You're testifying about yourself. It's not because you're biased. It's Gzeres HaKasif. They're one and the same person. But if it's a Chashash Meshaker, so then... perhaps a great grandchild and a great grandfather, they're not so close. So, I don't know. But that's the angle, but that's a good question to raise, I agree. You're welcome. Okay, so the Gemara says now, how do we know that these psulim are, these krovim are going to be possible? The Gemara says, the Tanur Abanim brings a brayso. Lo yumsu avos abanim. Matam alomer im lamid shelo yumsu avos ba'avon banim. If it's going to tell us the pasuk that a father cannot die because of the children, the sins of the children, uvanim ba'avon avos harekfar, and the sons can't die because of the sins of the father, well harekfar nemar ish becheto yumsu. That a person dies because of his own chatam, he doesn't get punished based on somebody else's chatam. So we already know that. Of course, a father can't die because of his son, and vice versa. Ella, what's it coming to teach us? Lo yumsu avos abanim be'edus banim, with the testimony of the sons. The son cannot testify against the father. Ubanim lo yumsu avos. So too the sons cannot die because of the edus ha'avos. That's what we learn. This is the source of avos and banim, that they can't testify on each other. I think later on we'll go on to explain how we know all the other krovim. Then the Gemara says, is that really true? Ubanim ba'avon avos lo, that sons will not die because of the sins of their fathers. The haksiv, the pasuk says, poked avon avos abanim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes on based on the sins on the fathers, even onto the children. He takes out his revenge. Gemara says, halsim kisha ochsin maseh vosein biyodeim. That's only when the children themselves are being oches, are following the bad, evil ways of their father. Kidatani, the Brisa says, v'af ba'avonos avosam atem yimku kisha yimku kisha ochsin maseh vosein biyodeim. That's only they get killed, they die, because if they follow the path of their father, they're going to get punished as well. And the Gemara says, atomer kisha ochsin o inu elok kisha inu ochsin. How do you know if it's talking about when they're actually following the father or they're not following the father? And the Gemara kind of the side there, change it, maybe. Okay. And the Gemara concludes this. Isn't there another pasuk that says, that person does get killed because of the sins of his brother? That's when he had the opportunity to give tochacha. He doesn't give tochacha, then he gets punished. What comes out from this, though, is that a son actually can get killed and die, get punished because of the sins of his father. And that's only when he follows the way of his father. But if he doesn't follow the way of the father, he won't get killed. Very interesting sugya. Unclear which type of son we're referring to here. Yeah?
Is this only refers to sons, not daughters?
Good question. Very good question. L'chora, it should include daughters as well. L'chora. So, but we don't know if he's talking about sons Banim Gdolim, Banim Ketanim. Rashi brings in a very, very interesting sheet there, very puzzling. He writes, Kishaochs and Masev Hosein Byoden, when you follow the path of your fathers, your father, Vinifron Mehen, Avnosein Vavon Avosehem. That you are going to be punished for your sins and the sins of your father. Yeah.
Me and you had a little bit of a deaconess ration.
Yeah.
That it's Dafka. It was Dafka the I guess the trait that the son picked up from the father. Only that trait. Like let's say the father was, you know, a killer and the son became a killer.
Mm-hmm.
But the father also ate nevela, so the son didn't necessarily eat nevela. So the son's not going to get punished for the achilas nevela of the father. He's only going to get punished for the, you know, the ritzicha of the father.
Okay.
And we saw that, I guess, from like avon avosayim, just from that specific sin. We're saying that it's not, the son doesn't get every single sin that the father got. It's only that which the son emulates. I don't know,
okay, I'm not sure if it's necessarily dick, but I hear the swear for that. If kshaochs and masev osem, so that's what?
It's in the word itself in the Gemara.
I think masev osem mean the actions that I was saying, not just generically the averos, but the specific averos. I didn't think about that question until you raised it now. I would think pashup shot would be that it's referring to the actual averos we were passed on, but I think it's open to interpretation still.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if Rashi is any better than the Gemara itself.
I mean, he just says it outright, but of one, I'm saying. That specific sin.
I mean, it says, Avo no say him, but of one, I will say him. Uh-huh. I mean, it says, Avo no say him. Either should be both Avo nehem, Avo no say him, or be Avo no say him, Avo no say him.
Right.
Okay. I hear that. Okay. I do hear that. Did you look, anybody?
We try to look around. We don't find anyone,
really. Masifta, oftentimes, when he has his beer Rashi, he has some footnotes. Uh-huh. People from Medayik and Rashi, it might be worthwhile taking a look. I hear what you're saying. Very interesting. I think it's Misfar. It makes sense. Yeah. But maybe that's Rashi very Medir. Okay. Now, the question is, when Rashi is referring to, when it explains this, why the son gets punished for his sins and the sins of his father, what is the age of the son? Very unclear. Rashi doesn't tell us. So let's first look at the Miri and come back with the Miri to ask some questions on Shita's Rashi. The Miri on Chav Zayin Beis, Dibur Hamas Chil Vizeh Shibi Arnu. So he explains. That is coming to teach us that a ben gadol, a son over the age of 13, and a daughter, I assume also, like Jeremy was saying, over the age of 12, does not get punished because of the sins of his father. Because the pasuk says, ish pechato. But when he's ochs and masev oseihem, yodeihem, so then, what happens? He doesn't get punished because of his sins of his father. He just doesn't get the rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Af bezu lomar she'eino marich lo'od es apo achashu rosh ben rosh." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is full of rachman. But once a person's a rosh ben rosh, he's lost out his opportunity for rachman. All midas din. The son, we're talking about Ben Gadol here, he deserves the punishment. He violated Averos. But normally speaking, it's a Rasha Ben a Tzaddik. So because the Chus Avos, and the Chus Avos are very important, as reading, someone bought me the Sefer, a Sefer entirely on Akedas Yitzchak, why we say Akedas Yitzchak every single morning. And one of the reasons they Mepharshim bring down is because we're supposed to, right in the beginning of davening, remember the Chus Avos. The Rasha and Yuma talks about the Chus Avos every morning. They would say, has the sun risen yet so we could bring the Talmud? Ad Shibah Chevron, has it risen all the way so we could see Chevron? Who cares about Chevron right now? We're talking based on Migdash. So Rashi writes, based on Yerushalmi, I think, it's a Chus Avos. We're trying to remember the Chus Avos. That's why we say Akedat Yitzchak every morning. So this guy is a Chus Avos. His father's a Tzaddik. So Rashi ben Tzaddik, will HaKadosh Baruch will refrain from punishing this person for his sin. But if it's a Rashi ben Rashi, even though it's a Chus Avos, so you're going to get punished for your own sins, though. Now, if you look back at Rashi, so if Rashi's talking about the Agadol, like Meir is talking about, so then why is the Agadol responsible? Why is he liable for the sins of his father? Doesn't make sense. He's an owned individual now. So maybe you're going to say he's talking about a Katan. Maybe Rashi's talking about a Katan. So the Katan, then he's responsible for he get punished for his father's sins. But then why is he responsible for his own sins? He's only a Katan. You have a question?
Right, is it Ben Gadol? It's in contrast.
Yeah.
Is it Ben Gadol, and why is he getting punished for his father's sins? Where does it say he's responsible for his own sins?
Rashi says he gets Unifrod Mehen Avonosehen Ve Avon Avosehen. Either way, if he's a Ben Gadol like the Miri, so he shouldn't get punished. Like the Miri says, a Ben Gadol doesn't get punished for his father's sins. What it means is he doesn't get the Rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch anymore. But in the end, whatever he gets punished for, it's for his own actions. But if he's a Katan, so then you find all the time, the Gemara in Shabbos, second parak, lengthy Gata, talks about a number of eros where Banim Katanim die because of the father's sins. A number of them. It's not a chiddush to Karis. One of the explanations for Karis is your children die young. So a son, the Katan's responsible for his own, not responsible, he gets punished. Well, he doesn't get punished. His father gets punished and he loses his children, Rahman al-Islam. But to say he gets punished because of his father and he gets punished for his own actions, what's Rashi referring to?
It's going to be a little balbatish, but you would just say that, when he's a gadol, that he should, what are Rashi mean that he didn't get the bonus of his father? What are actually you mean by that? Well, we thought it meant that if you do the same action that your father did, then not only do you get that hate on yourself, but you also get a double hate, I guess, in a sense.
But Lamaisa, you didn't do that Avera. I hear what you're saying. You're saying really talking about Ben Gadol, but since you follow the sins of you building off the sins of your father, somehow that carries down to you also.
Right.
I'm not. Yeah. Another approach you could take is the relationship of father. Son relationship, how strong they are, but still, I'm not so comfortable. You look? Yeah. You bring the Ramam? Is that Ramam you have? Oh, man. Bring the Ramam? You have? Oh, sweet.
Can I sprinkle it, okay?
All right, I'll deal with it. Hilcha Shuva. Perek Vav Halach Aleph. There you go. Rambam writes, it's Halach Aleph, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Psukim harbi yesh b'torah b'dvei nevirim, shem nirim kisosun ikerzeh, v'nichshon b'hem rov adam. He goes on to explain various chatom that cause various punishments. Then he says, yesh chait she'adin nosein she'nifron mimenu al chato ba'om hazer. There are certain sins that will cause you to lose out in this world. Begufo, O b'mamono, O b'banav k'tanim. Shebanav shel adam haktanim, she'ein mehem das, lo gi l'chal mitzvos, ki kinyanohen. K'siv ish b'chato yamos ad shi'aso ish. What's very interesting about Rambam when he describes the katan here?
It's like the children getting punished, even though the children know it's still for the sin of the father. Like, it's the father's punishment, even though the actual, maybe something physical or chaser or whatever it is going on with the children.
But what about the age of the children?
And
which age? Katan? Let me read that again. Ktanim shebanam she'asai. Ha'ktanim she'ein behem das. V'lo higi l'chla mitzvos. Ki kinyan nohen.
Really, really young.
Really young.
She'ein behem das.
What?
She'ein behem das.
Ktanim, he didn't say ktanim.
Porchim.
Exactly. Ktanim she'ein behem das. V'lo higi l'chla mitzvos. The Rambam, it seemed, I think, I didn't see anybody who says this, but there are two types of ketanim, of course. The ketanim who haven't reached the age of chinuch, and there's ketanim who have, which is normally 5, 6, 7, depending on what mitzvah, depending on each child. So when the ketan hasn't reached the age of chinuch yet, those the banim ketanim you could get, you will die perhaps for a veiros of their father. But then there's the middle ground. Ketanim who reached chinuch but haven't yet reached the status of gadol. So I think maybe that's what Rashi is referring to. Rashi is referring to that middle ground where they're responsible for themselves to a certain extent, and responsible, or their father is responsible to a certain extent as well. If the katan was just simply doing averus when he reached chinuch, normally you don't get punished for that. But since it's combined with the sins of his father, he's going to be liable for his own punishments as well. Right? Because he has bar das, he's gil chametos, he's getting punished anyways because his father did certain sins, so when the father sins, that goes down to the katanim as well. But since he's also gil chachinach, bechlal those avonos, he's getting punished not only the avonos of his father, but only also the avonos of himself. And that perhaps is what Rashi is referring to. This katan she gil chachinach. Ram only says here the bottom katan that haven't reached the age of chinuch yet. They're very little.
They get
die because of the sins of their father. But he stresses only those who haven't reached chinuch yet. What about the ones who got chinuch? Are they going to get killed? L'chor or not, unless may they themselves, although the katan, they themselves are doing the same averus of their father. So then combining that with their own sins, because they reached chinuch, and the sins of their father, those two combined could cause them punishment.
Why do they get the sins of the father?
Why do they get sins of the father? Because that's based on psukim of Pokade Avon Avos Albonim, that the sins of the father carry down to the children.
What does the Bichani do now?
So we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten there. Right. So that's why that flows into the next sugya.
That's like the cutoff, right? Like after he reaches. Whatever. What you're saying now is when he reaches chinuch, is there what's the difference between that and bar mitzvah? Anything?
That
once
and
once he reaches chinuch, that's like.
Well, so let's work through it. Let's read through it and we'll figure out how it connects back to the sugya. And that's a good question. We'll read through it. It'll come clear. Let's just figure it out. So what comes out from the Meiri? The Meiri says, just from his silence, that all ketanim up until the age of 13. Could get punished because of the sins of their father, even if they did nothing wrong. What comes out for the Rambam and Rashi is that it's only true for ketanim under the age of chinuch. Over the age of chinuch, for them, they have to do averos as well as the father doing averos. Only that combination. But strictly speaking, just about the issue now of when do banim ketanim die because of the sins of the father, when the banim ketanim are innocent. For the Meiri, up until 13. For the Rashi Rambam, up until 5, 6, whenever chinuch. Everyone with me on that point? That's when they can no longer get punished for the father's sins, when they reach either 6 or 13, depending who you are. So let's go to Yehuda's issue in terms of the bracha of Bar Mitzvah. The Ramah, in Siman Reish Chaf Hei, Siv Beis writes that Yesha Omrim, Mishanasa Bino, Bar Mitzvah, Yivarach Bracha Hashem, Elkinu Melech Olam Shepatrani Me'aun Shal Zeh. Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for exempting me from the punishments of this child. I'm told the Baruch below Shem Malchus, but it's best to say without Shem Malchus, it's how we paskin. Some say, I think Eli Rabbi so said, the reason being because it's never mentioned in Chazal anywhere, this Bracha, so they can't really create Brachas on their own. I think the Gra wouldn't say Mekadosh Rabim with Shem Malchus, which we say every morning, because there's no source in Chazal for that either. So the Mogen Avraham quotes here. He says, why? Because Perish Ad Achshav, up until now, Nenash Ha'av Kishechot Ha'ben, Bishvir Shelo Chincho. Father has a certain responsibility to be Mechanech his son. And if he doesn't, the father's going to get punished for that. So now the father's off the hook. The Vush writes, Perish Ibcha, quoted in the Mogen Avraham. The Vush writes, the Anata up until now have been Nenash B'Avon Ha'av. No, it's for the sake of the son. The son's off the hook. My father, the Rasha, is now no longer going to cause me to get killed. I'm free. What's the Vush assuming? You're having a question about this. What was Levush assuming? He assumed that the child, up until the age of 13, could still die because of the sins of his father. That's like the Meiri. The Meiri said the cutoff point is Gadol. A Gadol is responsible for himself. The Mashmals are anybody who's a Katan, even a Gila Chinuch, even a Katan, could die because of the sins of his father. Perhaps the Mogen Avraham paskens the other way and says, learns like the Rambam and the Riri, Rambam and the Rashi rather. And no. The son, only up until age 5, 6, whenever he yilachinach, only then does a banim katan die. The time period from 6 to 13, he's off the hook, unless he's doing the same avarice as his father. But we're going to assume not. That's not usually the case. So why is the son off the hook? He was off the hook when he was 6 already. So that's why perhaps Mogen Avraham has to say a different reason, that no, it's the father saying, I am no longer responsible to mechanech this son anymore. Good question. I remember when Rontwag did this in Shir, I guess it must have been in, my first semester in Shir. We were doing Gittin, we were doing the Maisa Katan, maybe then he brought it up, and he quoted this, I remember. I thought he said that Lavush would hold that the son himself makes the bracha.
That would be logical.
It would be logical. I saw Lavush, I looked at Friday inside, I wanted to see if that point was true. I didn't get an indication whether the father or son was making it. But a pashas of the son should make it. Unless the father's making it on behalf of the son, but I don't know why that would be. But perhaps this machlok is an understanding why or who now says the bracha would be about this issue. At what age are the banim katanim liable for the sins of their father? That might be one direction is machlokas. Okay. Now there are a number of nafkamina that come out of this, these two opinions in the Mogen Avraham. The Eshel Avraham, the Mogen Avraham, sorry, the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim has two parish in the back. Eshel Avraham, which is his parish on the Mogen Avraham, and the Mishpat of Zahav, which is his parish on the Taz. So the Prima Gadim and the Eshel Avraham, Reish Chaf Hei, brings a number of nafkamina, a number of important issues that come up from this machlokas. So what about for a girl? Do you say this for a girl also? So this is Jeremy's point. He says, well, if the reason why you say it is so the katan don't get punished anymore, lo shna zachem nekevos. No difference to son or daughter. They both can get killed if the father does sins. So you should say it if it's from the Levush's perspective about being freed from punishment. But if it's because of chinuch, that's why you're saying, I no longer have to mechanech them anymore. So there's an opinion out there that you maybe don't have to be mechanech your daughter at all. So it wouldn't be relevant for a daughter. And even if you hold that you do have to mechanech your daughter, there's not so many mitzvahs you have to be mechanech her with, so it's not such a big deal. So maybe it's not worth saying a bracha. What about the mother of the child? Does the mother have to? Yeah, the first point is, let's say you have a daughter. Do you have to say the bracha for a daughter at her bas mitzvah? If the reason is because she's now free of any punishment, so yes, you should. Just like a son could die because of the sins of the father, so too a daughter could die because of the sins of the father. But if the reason is because you're no longer obligated to be mechanech your son, well, there's an opinion out there, you don't have to be mechanech your daughter ever. So you're not exempt from anything anymore. You never were chayev. And even if you hold you have to be mechanech your daughter, there weren't 20 mitzvahs you had to be mechanech her to do. It wasn't such a big deal. There's no real true exemption now. And then he says, what about a mother? Does a mother have to say the bracha when her son or daughter becomes bar mitzvah? So there's an opinion out there that a woman doesn't have to be mechanech. It's an interesting sugya. Right, the sugya in Sukkah. Only a malka. So maybe a woman doesn't have to mechanech her son. So maybe she shouldn't say it. And he says maybe also the son maybe isn't punished because of the sins of her mother. Because he thinks the pasuk says, Poked avon avo stafka. And the Rambam says the banim ktanim are kinyanohem, they're owned by the father, not by the mother. He thinks there's room to say that maybe only the sins of the father cause the children to die early, not the sins of the mother. Yesh l'achor there. Piskei Tshuva brings a few other nafkaminas about the reasoning behind the bracha. So let's say someone who was adopted. So the person... Yeah, Piskei Tshuva. So he says, let's say someone is adopted. So the person raising this child has to say the bracha if it's because of chinuch, because he has an obligation to be mechanich, this person being raised in his house. If it's because of punishment, so then that won't apply to someone who's adopted. And what about grandfather who's raising his grandson? So he says, even if he doesn't raise him, let's say he doesn't raise him, there's still a chiv of chinuch from the grandson. When the father's not there, the grandfather has to be mechanic of the grandson. But the punishments may not go from grandfather to grandson. Those are two other nafkminis he talks about. Now, another issue that comes out here of this discussion as well is like taken from the other angle. We explain why does Levush say that the son should say it according to what Gary understood? Because he's free of punishment. The Magen Avraham didn't like that because he was free of punishment years ago. So, taking from the Magen Avraham's perspective now, Magen Avraham says, why does the father say the bracha? Because I'm exempt from being mechanichim now. And Levush doesn't like that. So they might be arguing why not. They might be arguing about the nature of chinuch. What's a chakir when it comes to chinuch? Is the kid for the father? Meaning, did the Chum say there's a chiv on the father to mechanich his children? And that's why the Magen Avraham says, now once he's 13, there's no chiv anymore, I'm pater. Or is a chiv on the son? That the son has to be regulated to do mitzvahs. And whoever is in his position to do that, whether the father, mother, whoever it is, should carry that out. But it's not a chiv on the father, the chiv is really on the son. If that's the case, may Levush said it, he can't say it. The father doesn't say the brach, he was never a chiv in the first place to mechanich the son. The whole chiv was on the son. That might be the angle of the machlokas as well. And now, that being said, so the Magen Avraham says the father, because of the chinuch, the father himself is responsible. He says it because now he's exempt. It's possible to say the father therefore could get punished if the son does averos. Masha Enkin, according to Levush might hold there's no chiva on the father at all. Father's not the mechanech his son, the son has to be mechunach. But the chiv is not on the father. So therefore, if the son sins, perhaps the father would not be responsible. So there's a Mahokas Ran and Rabbeinu Yonah and our sugya, and I'm not sure anybody saw it at the end, the Habamina to think and think about. The Gemara had a Habamina to say that maybe the father is going to die because of the sins of the sons. The Ran asks, what do you mean? So the son is going to hit the father in the face and curse him, and on top of that, going to kill the father. Listen, your son sinned. You're going to die now. Doesn't make any sense. The Ran says, no, of course it didn't make any sense. What's it saying? It's talking about don't make the dying. The dying shouldn't think, I'm so upset at the father, I'm so upset at the son, I'm going to take out punishment on everybody. But there's never having to think the father should be responsible if the son sinned. The father's going to get killed for that? But the Rabbeinu Yonah says, yes, there was a Havamina. It makes sense. He doesn't explain why. He says, the son sins, the father's responsible. Maybe the point is, that goof this machlokas. About the chiv chinuch. Now, they're talking about a derisive level. Chinuch is only pashas on their abundant level, but there are hints to it being derisive. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah says, that he starts off saying, there's a chiv to be mechanech your son in Talmud Torah. The Rambam talks about the chiv to bring a son to Aliyah LeRegel. There might be hints in the Rambam other places that Rami saw in the beginning of Chagiga, that chinuch might be deraisa. But this machlokes, whether the father could theoretically die because of the sins of the son, might go back to the responsibility the father has to be mechanech the children.
When you're saying that it's on the father.
It'd be on the father, exactly. Now one other issue, I'll just stop here, but one other issue between the Ran and Rabbeinu Yonah comes out of the whole discussion here. Is this poked avon avos, abanim, that pasuk is referring to which Beis Din? Beis Din Shamal. Kadosh Baruch is Beis Din. Lo yumsu avos abanim is referring to which Beis Din? Lamata. So Yishon asks, I don't understand. You're asking a question from Beis Din Shamayim, Beis Din Shalamata? What's going on here? It's two different Bati Dinim.
I mean, here you just address it as soon as there's a double portion, then it's equivalent
to right. Miri, yeah, right. When we saw that, also wanted to think it's talking about Beis Din Shal Shamayim. Others think not. So this is a very interesting sugi, reading with the Shonim here, the relationship between Beis Din Shamata, Beis Din Shal Shamayim. Could you separate the two? The Gemara seems to say, just without explaining, going from one to the next. Or no, is everything talking about the plane of Beis Din Shal Shamayim? Even in the beginning, Yumsu Avos Abanim, even that was referring to Beis Din Shal Shamayim. And the whole discussion is only in Beis Din Shal Shamayim. So Rabbi Leibowitz gave a shir a few weeks ago to the shir about based in Shemayim versus based in Shalmata. Very interesting sugya. But we're not going to do that, but that comes out from this sugya, some of the Rishonim, if you read it inside.